Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 2 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 4, 6 through 12. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? We want to know you more. Not just about you, Lord. We really want to know you more. Pull us deep into your word that we would fellowship with you and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. As always, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. So Paul here is starting in on the Corinthians about the gift of tongues. And this chapter, most of chapter 14, is all about Paul making a distinction between the value in a corporate setting of the gift of prophecy versus the value of the gift of tongues in a corporate setting. Now, Paul is going to go on and say, don't ever hinder anyone from speaking in tongues. And after this, all of this explanation here, we generally infer that he's speaking in a private way, that he's not speaking in a corporate way, but he's speaking privately. But also that, you know, don't not allow anyone to speak in tongues corporately. And we're going to get into that as the week goes on. But he's basically saying here, listen, if you get up and you blab in tongues, no one can understand you unless there's a supernatural revelation, a gift of ears, like I've said before. No one's going to know what you're saying, and it's not really going to help anybody. Now, there's a very interesting story, and I love the story. I've heard a few like it. I've never experienced this myself, but there was a professor at Gordon-Conwell Seminary long time ago by the name of J. Christy Wilson. He'd been a missionary in Afghanistan. And one Pashtun-speaking Afghani one day had told him this story. He'd become a believer because of this. And he was a man from Afghanistan, but he was visiting the UK. And he actually came across a church. Somehow someone invited him to go to church or something one day. And so he ended up going to this Pentecostal church. And while he was there, the pastor, who was speaking, you know, Queen's English the whole time and was a Caucasian Brit, he stopped speaking English after a while, which the man from Afghanistan could understand. He stopped speaking English and he started speaking in this man's native dialect of Pashtun. And in Pashtun, he started saying, and the man said he was speaking with a perfect accent. And in Pashtun, he started saying, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the only way to know God. And without Jesus, there is no way to be right with God. Accept Jesus with all of your heart today. And then he stopped and he went back to speaking in English. And the man from Afghanistan was amazed. He just couldn't wait because he was amazed that this man could speak his language. And so he was so interested to go find him after the service and ask him when he had been to Afghanistan and how long he had studied Pashtun. Well, he went to the pastor after the service and asked him, you know, when did you learn Pashtun? When did you visit Afghanistan? How long have you studied? And the pastor just kind of looked at him funny and said, well, I've never been to Afghanistan. I don't even know what Pashtun is. And the man from Afghanistan said, well, you were speaking perfect Pashtun. And he told him what he said early in the service, and the pastor said, "Oh, I was speaking in tongues." He said, for some reason, something came over me, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak in tongues. And he ended up speaking perfect Pashtun, and this man was so amazed by that, he gave his life to the Lord. But unless you've got something like that, then it's going to be a bunch of babble in a public corporate setting. And Paul is here saying it's not going to do any good. He's saying, listen, a trumpet or instruments, when they play, there's distinctions of notes, and they flow, and they create music. If there's no distinction of notes, if a violin just made every frequency all at once, it's actually just awful. It's terrible noise. And Paul is saying that's kind of what speaking in tongues is like in a corporate setting. Now, again, like that story I told, there might be acceptable times, like if the Lord calls you to do it, but if you're doing it all the time, you know, if this kind of thing is happening, it's not going to help anybody. Just getting up and babbling in tongues or whatever, there's different cultures where it's kind of like a rite of passage where you got to get up and talk in tongues, and so everybody kind of does it, and there's that kind of thing. That's relatively rare, but it's really not helpful. And so a lot of people, a lot of scholars and people, and again, this is one of those things where I never like to say things like this too definitively, because we don't know for certain, but everything kind of points to the fact that it looks like in Corinth, they really loved the gift of tongues. Now, they might have had a good reason for this, because when we read the book of Acts, it becomes very clear, at least early on in the history of the church, that speaking in tongues was one of the primary ways that the apostles knew that the Lord had accepted and approved of Gentiles being brought into the kingdom of God. When they would get saved, they would speak in tongues. And that was in the book of Acts. That was one of the ways early on that the Lord would attest to Gentiles becoming believers, because early on in the book of Acts, there were no Gentile believers. Every single person before Cornelius was not a Gentile believer. They were either Jewish, they were Jews who had been distributed around the Greek and Roman world by the diaspora, or there were these converts to Judaism, basically people who were born Gentiles, but then went through circumcision, and they adopted the culture and all of the law of the Jews. And so they weren't technically considered Gentiles. They were Jewish converts, even though they were of Gentile blood. But strictly Gentiles, Cornelius in the book of Acts is the very first Gentile Christian. And the way that the Lord showed them, and Peter and John, they had to get up and really defend this, but then the church accepted it, was because they spoke in tongues when they accepted Jesus silently. Peter understood, they all understood that the Lord had accepted Gentiles the same as them, because they had all spoken in tongues on the day of Pentecost. Now, the gift of tongues was not the only sign that Gentiles had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and saved and regenerated. There's also instances in the book of Acts where they didn't speak in tongues, but they prophesied instead. And this is later on in the book of Acts, when Paul is in Ephesus, he's laying on hands over these people who hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. When they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they actually prophesy. They didn't just speak in tongues. And so the gift of tongues can be a sign of regeneration. It's not the only sign. It doesn't necessarily have to go along with salvation, but prophecy and things like that can. And there's instances in the Old Testament, you know, where Saul, he comes in the presence of the prophets in the Old Testament, and basically he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, and he falls down and starts prophesying right there. You know, it actually says that the Holy Spirit fell on Saul, King Saul, and he actually began prophesying. And so biblically speaking, the more accurate gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord gives when someone's saved is the gift of prophecy, but tongues can be one as well. I don't want to say that tongues isn't a sign that can accompany someone being saved, but it's not the only one, and it's not 100% necessary. But it is one of those things that Paul here is going to claim is actually very useful, just not all that useful in a public setting. Okay, continuing on, verse 10. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you were eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So again, he's alluding back to what he said at the beginning of the chapter, prophecy. Prophecy is going to build up the church. And like we talked about in chapter 12, prophecy, just as far as a technical definition from the Bible, is actually a very broad umbrella. When you look at prophecy in the Old Testament, the apostles of the New Testament, you would look in, and they were kind of the prophets of the Old Testament. Men like Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, these men were apostolic in their ministry at times. They would look a lot like the apostles of the New Testament, the apostles of the Lamb. But they were called prophets back then, sometimes seers. But, you know, so prophecy in the Bible encompasses a lot of things. And Paul even breaks that down in chapter 12, where he talks about gifts of knowledge, words of wisdom, things like that, where it's not necessarily just telling of the future, but maybe even telling you about your past or telling you about your present. Like I mentioned yesterday, I have a good friend named Draper, and he's called me on so many occasions that I don't have the exact number. I know it's more than 30, and I think it's probably about 50 or more, but he's called me and told me what I prayed that morning. I mean, this has happened so many times. He's called me and told me things that I'd only prayed in silence. He's called me and told me about dreams and things like that. It's just remarkable. Those kinds of things do build up the church. And again, I don't want you to just think of the church as in building up the church service. Paul is specifically talking here about the gift of tongues in a church service. But these other gifts, like prophecy, they're very valuable in a church service, but they actually extend beyond that. What if the Lord spoke to you about your coworkers? What if the Lord spoke to you about the people that you sit next to on a plane? What if God gave you wisdom and instruction? If he told you a little secret about somebody who is hurting that would set them free, that you met on a park bench or just anywhere? What if that kind of supernatural Holy Spirit activity operated in the lifeblood of the church, not just inside the church walls, but what if there were people ministering the gospel prophetically, going out and telling people the good news about Jesus, and every day asking the Lord, speak to me about this person, speak to me about this person, Lord. How can they be free? How can they experience eternal life and be free from sin and bondage and shame for eternity? What can you tell me about them that would set them free? What and many people, and I just want to say this as a caveat, many people believe they're kind of scared of prophecy because they think, well, you know, prophets just kind of like air out your dirty laundry and, you know, they can see everything about you. And that's just not true. The Lord is going to share what he wants to share with prophets. It's not like a prophet has the ability to see everything in your life and all of your sin and dirty laundry. A prophet can only know what the Lord tells him or her. A prophet can only know what they're told. And so it's always going to be for the edification, for the building up of the saints. These prophetic words are always for the building up of the saints. Always. They're always for our encouragement. They're always so that we'll be better. And that's powerful. The Lord keeping us on that path is so powerful in the life of the church, or in the life of the church universal as it is expressed in the marketplace or on a plane or on a bus or at a football game or wherever you are in your family. It's so powerful. So be eager for the gifts of the Spirit, but try to excel in those that build up the church. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I so appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes or anywhere else. And actually, I wanted to mention that we're on Stitcher. The podcast is on Stitcher now, so if you prefer to listen to it there, it's now there. Yay, hooray. Go look at it and listen to it on Stitcher and leave a review for it there. Actually, I've never used Stitcher before, but I got there, so I don't know how exactly that works. So maybe one of you can tell me how exactly that works. But I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.